We like a few verses finishing the 48th chapter of Isaiah. We'd gotten down to the 19th verse of Isaiah 48 last time, and then, of course, when we finish this chapter, we want to go into the 49th chapter, and we're going to find that there is a real treat in store for us as we study this 49th chapter. But let's finish the 48th chapter first. In the 18th verse of chapter 48 of Isaiah, "Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments! Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea." What God is saying here to Israel is that if they had only listened, if they had only hearkened to what he had taught them, and of course that same injunction could just as well apply to us today. If today we would only listen, if today we would only hearken to what God's commandments are for us today, then, he said, had thy peace been as a river and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. And we discussed last time the importance of this element known as peace, how that this is the way and would be the way for us to have peace and to know peace, and how important peace is to us. And I would refer you to that lesson for the teaching there. Then another result of having hearkened to the commandments would be in verse 19, thy seed also had been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. Now, when he said thy seed had been as the sand, he's talking about the way that this nation of Israel would have multiplied and would have prospered. They would have grown. They would have been thriving persons. Instead of just being a remnant, they would have grown and prospered. Another advantage of having kept his commandments would have been that thy and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. What this really means is like the gravel of the sea or the pebbles of the sea. So it just simply, this is a way of telling the people how that they would have been prosperous, they would have multiplied, they would have been a large and thriving nation if only they just kept his commandments. And now they were simply a remnant, especially in the captivity, they were just a very bare remnant of persons that then could even be the vestiges of this once mighty nation. His name should not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me. And this is talking about the name of the nation. Israel had, during the captivity, had ceased to exist. It no longer was a nation. It no longer was a country. There was no place known as Israel. That was a desolate area, and it didn't have a government. It didn't have a people. It didn't have a law. There was no inhabitants there who could be known by the name of Israel. So he says his name should not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me. So God had actually completely cut them off. He'd taken the name away from them, and had they just obeyed his commandments, the captivity would have been avoided. Now, if that would have caused Israel to have avoided so much of their trial and tribulation and great suffering, just think today now how much the keeping of his commandments on our part might cause us also to avoid some trials and problems that God will send our way on purpose, simply as a means to correct and to cleanse us. So in verse 20 of chapter 48, "Go ye forth of Babylon." Now he begins here to tell them that they're going to leave Babylon. They're going to be set free. They're going to be given a release from their captivity, and they'll be able to go back to the land then of Palestine. So, "Go ye forth of Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldeans." Chaldeans, of course, were the people who were the inhabitants of Babylon, and they were the captors of Israel. "With a voice of singing declare ye, tell this, utter it even to the end of the earth, say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob." So he's just assuring them in this verse that they are going to be released. They will go forth out of Babylon, and they will be allowed then to sing the praises of God and to declare to the nations and to the end of the earth that the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob. And verse 21 is still talking about they're going forth from Babylon and the Lord leading them. "And they thirsted not when he led them through the deserts, He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. Now, here this is just a picture of them being led back to their land through the desert. And he says that they thirsted not when he led them through the desert, showing that God provided for them, not only physically, but also spiritually. And as he led them through this desert place, through this wilderness area, then he provided for them water. Now, whether this was a literal thing or whether it's just a figure, it doesn't make any difference. It shows what God did. And it is probably a definite allusion to the time when Moses caused water to come forth from the rock in Exodus 17 and 6 and in Numbers 20:11. The people were all familiar with that, and so God's promising that he would do it again to them in order to supply their wants as he led them back to their original land. Then this last verse seems like it could maybe be a little bit out of place even, but it is a very profound statement and one that we need to all be familiar with. Verse 22, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." Now you know earlier we just got through talking about the fact that he had said that if you'd hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, I would have given you peace. But now he makes the statement, "There is no peace unto the wicked." And this is a statement that has been verified over and over and over again in the lives of those who have forgotten about God and who have maybe never known of God. There is truly, in the lives of wicked persons, there is truly no peace. Now they may seem to have outward enjoyment or outward prosperity or even outward peace. But if you had a way of delving into their lives and knowing the kind of existence that they have, you would see that there is no true peace for the wicked. And this bears the truth out over and over again that the only source of peace, the only source of happiness, the only source of real, true, and security is from the true and living God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And unless we look to that source for peace, we will never have it. We'll never have security. We'll never have the thing that we really want and need in this life as human beings. And then, of course, when it comes our time to die and to leave this life, we will not have the thing that we need so desperately when we leave this life, that is the assurance of another life after this. That's the true and ultimate and great peace. And there is none in the wicked. Now, if you believe that there may be peace in the wicked, if you believe that you can live a wicked life and have the thing that you really dearly want and need as a human being, then you're going to be very sad and disappointed. And you're going to realize ultimately, and maybe too late even, that you do not have peace. There is no peace unto the wicked. Now, beginning in chapter 49, and as we said earlier, we're going to have a real a feast here of a description of the Messiah.